Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel 22, and we're going to read verses 6 through 8. Let's all stand up on our feet. You ready? Let's go. That was all review. So we'll just preach another hour and a half or so. All right, First Samuel 22, verse 6 through 23. When Paul heard that David and the men who were with him had been discovered, now Saul staying in Gibeah, he sends his servant. Standing about him, go to verse 7. And Saul said to his servants who stood about him, "Hear now, you Benjamites. Will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? All of you have conspired against me. There's no one who reveals to me that my son has made a covenant with the son of Jesse. And there is not one of you who's sorry for me." What a jerk. "Who reveals to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as it is this day." Father, move in power in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Leave the scripture up, please. It's fascinating to me, a couple of things. These sons of Benjamin. "Hear now, you Benjamites." You know why? Because he's basically recruited and raised up all of those who were part of the tribe of Benjamin. Why would he do that? It's nepotism. How many of you know what nepotism is? Nepotism is when you hire or you bring people around you that are your family or those your close relatives without regard to gifting, without regard to talent. So he basically hires the Benjamites, he recruits the Benjamites, and it's another fulfillment that Samuel said, if you get a king, he's going to take your land, he's going to take your farms, he's going to give it to other people. It's exactly what he's doing here. Samuel tries to talk Israel out of getting a king, but they insisted because they wanted to be like the other nations. God wanted a theocracy, but they wanted a king. Give us a king. So Saul's king, and what does he do? He does here, it's this talking about it. Can David give you farmland? I mean, he's leading by absolute corruption. You know how we elevate? We don't have a bunch of Brackens around here yet. What do you mean by that? It could be that God will move my kids up here to be a part of what's taking place here. But let me just tell you, it's not because their last name is Bracken. That's my last name for those of you who don't know it. Why would it be? It would be that they would be anointed, they would be called, they would be chosen, they would be selected by God to come up, not because I have some idea. Don't ever raise up anybody because they're your friend. What do you raise? How do you, in a business, listen to me, in business, marketplace, in the church, you don't elevate people because they're buddies. You don't elevate them because they have your last name or you're related to them. You elevate them based on, anybody know? Faithfulness, loyalty, and fruitfulness. That is how you elevate people. Because if you elevate people based upon giftings alone, it's got to be based on merit. It's merit-based elevation. You don't elevate because they're a particular color. You don't elevate them because they're a Benjamite. But that's what Saul did because he's a fool. I remember talking to Dr. Morocco years ago. Josh was like 12. No, he had to be older than that. I'm going to say 16, 17. I was in a staff meeting. Pastor Josh was 16 or 17. He's now the president of our organization. 16, 17 years old, and I'm in a core meeting with the rest of the OGs, they call us, which my wife thought was old guy, but... So I'm in this meeting, and one of the OGs says, "Hey, Dr. Morocco, Pastor Josh going to be the head of this whole thing one day? And he looks over and he says, I have no idea. If God's anointing is on him for that, yes. If God's anointing is not on him for it, no. And I thought, good answer. That's not the case with Saul. The redistribution of fields and vineyards. I said it before, but insecure leaders always put their... They want you to feel sorry for them, number one, and they always put people around them in positions of leadership without qualification. Dude, I just said something. I'm going to say it again. Insecure leaders will always put people around them not based upon qualifications. They put them there to protect themselves. You want to run for the hills if you're around anybody like that. People elevated in ministry, business must be based on merit, not on family name, not on background, not on money, not on position, cultural position or influence in a state, none of that. None of that matters. What matters is faithfulness, loyalty, fruitfulness. And God looks at the heart. I want you to go down to go to verse. This is where Saul orders the execution of these priests. It's this horrible story, and yet a fulfillment of the prophecy from Samuel when he was a boy, because Eli didn't train his children. Chapter 22, verse 16. The king said, you shall surely die, Ahimelech. He's talking to the priest and all your father's house. Oh, go further down, verse 17. But the servants of the king would not lift their hand to strike the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, Doeg is a dirtbag and a liar. And I'm sure he found himself in a place of hell when he died. He goes and the Edomite turns and kills the priests, 85 men who wore the ephod. It's so grievous. And the thing that's really horrible is that David was really responsible for it. Turn to Psalm 52. I'm teaching you. I hope you're learning. Psalm 52, there's a superscription here. Open your Bibles. Do you have a Bible, your device, however you got it? Everybody say superscription. Okay, that's this very upper part right here. Can you close in on that if you can? That's this very upper part. It's in the actual Hebrew. So when you read through the Psalms, you should read the whole thing because it's in there. And it's powerful. To the chief musician, a contemplation of David, when Doeg, the Edomite, went and told Saul and said to him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. So he wrote this knowing that he lied, knowing that he manipulated, knowing that he did all of that, and then, of course, Doeg. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? I should say this. I mentioned to Dr. David, the Treasury of David. Raise your hand if you ever heard of the Treasury of David. Treasury of David is a study tool written by Spurgeon. And what it does is it takes the Psalms of David, and it's so profound, and it integrates them into the life of David. So he writes this upon the hearing of which he was partially responsible. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction. Like he's talking about Doeg. Go down to verse 8. And this, I'm convinced. Okay. It's one of the reasons God calls him a man after his own heart. Look what, he's responsible. He started it. I mean, Doeg's a liar anyway, but he started the process of lying to the priests. And but I am, look at verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. You've got to understand the gravity of what's happening. He's heard about the killing of all these priests, and he's like, you evil man. Oh, I'm responsible for it. Part of that. Oh, I'm going to be like an olive. I'm going to be planted in the house of God. I'm going to fulfill God's plan. The beautiful thing about David, the heart of David, is that he's constantly bringing himself back to knowing that God loves him and that he loves God. God loves me. I love God. Oh, yes, I blew it. Oh, but I didn't do it on purpose. I just got messed up. Jesus, help. Help me. Anybody else feel like that? Go to go to Psalm 142. 142. Superscription, again. I don't know if you can close up on it because I don't think you have it in the verses. It just says, I cry out with my voice, right? Yeah, but that's thank you, pro presenter. That's really not what it says. A contemplation of David. You all see that? Okay, what else does it say? A prayer when he was in the cave. It matches the very time when he's in the cave of Adullam. He writes his prayer. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice, I cry to the Lord and make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him in my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Why was his spirit overwhelmed within me? 3,000 people hunting him down. He's now responsible for killing 85 priests. I mean, this dude did some stuff that's not so good. And yet he turns to the Lord. He's like, oh, oh God. I cry out. Your hand of mercy to heal me. I am weak. There's something about the Psalms will set your heart on fire if you realize how they're written. Come on, are you going through some stuff? Maybe some of it's your fault. Does anybody else identify with David besides me? I think all of us do. Welcome to humanity. Wow, a prayer when he's in the cave. He struggled with despair. David struggled with depression, I think. No one, look at verse 4. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path and the way in which I walk. They've secretly set a snare for me, talking about Saul. 3,000 men look for him. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. He's depressed. Anybody else felt depression before? Don't stay that way. Verse 5, I cried out to you, O Lord. You are my refuge. You see the shift? Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, God! There's a shift. Some of you don't shift. It's like your gearbox is stripped. Need new tranny. It's just stuck in the whining gear 3. Shift the gear and begin to lift your focus to the Lord. Begin to lift your voice to him. I cried out to the Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me, next slide. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Verse 7, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround. He's prophesying. The righteous shall surround me. For you shall deal bountifully with me. Come on, somebody say, God's going to deal bountifully with me. God is dealing bountifully with me. I am blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. He hears my cry. He attends to my prayer. I am his favorite one. I'm going to go up the mountain with the fire and the knife and the sacrifice, and he will always provide. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. You can leave or forsake him, but he will never leave or forsake you. He's going to raise you up. He's going to elevate you. He's put my feet upon the rock. Oh, he's a great and awesome God. Come on, somebody say amen. You've got to shift the gear out of your depression into the plan of God. The plan of God is not to kill you. Your flesh, yes. Yeah, he wants you to put your flesh down, but he wants to elevate the rest of you. He's trying to put character in you, and he's doing it in David here. Man. So good. Go to Psalm 57. It's right after 56. Can I have keys, please? Thank you so much, my anointed friend. Psalm 57. Superscription again. Are you all there? To the chief musician, set to do not destroy, a michtam. You know what a michtam, there's some argument over what a michtam is, but it's a golden psalm. And when you see michtam, it's that which is written when David is under great pressure, not average pressure, 3,000 men hunting him down pressure. A michtam of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. My soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings, I will take my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. Selah. Selah means take a break, take a rest. You read it, you just pause right there and go, Selah. Come on, somebody say Selah. And then you read, God shall send forth his mercy and truth. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. So he's talking about his condition. Then he says in verse 5, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They've dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast, and I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. He's going right into worship. He's out of third whining. He's out of the third whining gear, and he's gone right into worship. He knows something that I think that many people don't know. When you're in the midst of difficulty, when you're in the midst of pain, when you're feeling pressed to the right and pressed to the left, and you don't know which way to turn, he said, well, that's never happened to me. Live a few more years. Things happen. I don't prophesy that over you. It's just part of, you're going to go through difficulty. And in the elevation of every great man of God and the elevation of every great woman of God, there is going to be people who don't like you. And you're going to have opposition. And you're going to even feel like abused and mistreated, usually by people who are jealous. Or maybe sent even as a messenger of Satan. You have to discern which it is, but if you'll just learn to lift your voice and cry out, even though you're not perfect. You've blown it. You didn't do the right thing, maybe. But you just keep turning. Have a heart after God. Have a heart after God to praise him. Oh, I will praise you, oh Lord, among the people. I will sing to you among the nations. Verse 9. Oh, awake, awake, oh glory. Lift your hands to Jesus. That's why he's called a man after God's own heart. I want to be like that. You know, I don't want the Bathsheba part. I'm not doing that part. Amen. I don't want to kill the 85 priests part either. Not going to manipulate. Certainly don't want to be Saul like Saul. But there's something about David. Go on, just talk to him all across the place. Hallelujah. Awake, awake, awake. I will awaken the dawn. Look to you, God, the author, the finisher, the perfecter. I look to you. But he's the one who calls you. He's the one that chooses you. So do you think he knows what you're going through? Yes, respond rightly. If you don't respond rightly, you might live in the cave the rest of your life. Respond right. Respond rightly. I look to you, oh God. Come on, all across this place. Get out of the third whining gear and put it in the gear of worshiping God. Father, thank you. I will bless your name at all times and your praise will continually be in my mouth. I will say of the Lord, he is my rock and my refuge, my God in whom I trust. Oh, 1,000 may fall at your right side, 10,000 at your left. Will not come nigh my dwelling. You guard over me. You protect me. You selected me. You knit me together while I was in my mother's womb. Oh, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You begin to speak life. Begin to speak life. You led captivity captive. Oh, you made me the head and not the tail. Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of considering the moon and the stars? That which you've set in place. What is man that thou art mindful of and the son of man that would care for him? You set him a little below the angels, yet you've crowned him with glory and honor and given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have power. Some of you are your own worst enemy. Others of you just need to be reminded, shift that gear, get into a place of praise, get into a place of worship. David was attacked by men who are like devouring lions, verse 4. Prepared a net for him, verse 6. But his heart was steadfast. God, give us a steadfast heart. Not a divided heart. Not a double-minded man, says James, is unstable in all his ways. You know what that means? No, what? It's like this. You come in and you're like, oh, Lord, I love you. Thank you for doing everything you're doing in my life. And then you go out to your car. Do you even care? You didn't come through for me. And you just sit there, third gear. You let your emotions get a hold of you. Come on, look at your neighbor and go, go ahead. Renew your mind. Quit letting your mouth bring forth curses on yourself. Stop it. The tongue is powerful, says James. It's like the rudder of a ship. Out on the Bering Sea, another fishing story, we went to go rescue another ship. It's a 165-foot vessel. The rudder fell off. In January, February, in the Bering Sea. The only way they could keep the bow into the wind and into the waves is through a bow thruster. And by the time we got there, one burned out. That's a recipe for That's right. Some of you lost your rudder. Some of your rudder is just constantly bent towards hell. It's never gonna work. You're right. For you. Because you just keep saying it. No one loves me. They certainly not true, but if you say so. You're the prophet over your own life. David constantly adjusted, constantly said, oh, but you, oh God, you poured the oil on me. You chose me. I will awaken the door and the dawn. I will awaken the heart and the lute. I will sing praises to your name. You've got to shift. That's why David is called a man after God's own heart. Not because he was perfect, and neither are you, neither are me, neither am I. But we're supposed to contend and believe for living righteous. Don't take this as an excuse to live like a jerk and then call on the Lord. You're missing the whole point.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.